Join me, please, this morning in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Welcome. Let us be, as our good elder Don read, one, gathered together here before God to be his people, doing his work. Hebrews chapter 12. You notice on the monitor two words, let us. Hope you understand that. That's a central phrase, it seems to me, in the book of Hebrews. It's repeated a dozen times at least. And it's an invitation here. This is an invitation to oneness. Let's do this together. It's not one person pronouncing what others should do, but it's all of us together doing something. And let's see what that is that we've been invited to do. I'm reading in beginning in verse 18 of chapter 12. You'll see in that verse, not. So we start off with a negation. It's not this. But we should anticipate as good readers, at some point there's going to be a turn. And we'll surrender the negation and turn to an affirmation. And that's what I want to get to, but we've got to get through the negation there. So let's just pay attention and watch. I want you to notice. You'll see it. The turn is there, the great turning word. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. They could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. You know, the writer is just piling these on here, can't help himself. He adds one phrase after another, characterizing this astonishing arrival. You have come to this. This morning, we are these people. We have come. In fact, I'm still waiting for the day when we change the sign to be the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. What a name. Then we read on. The very next verse. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Who speaks this morning? Him. Who is the him? Back up where we just ended in 24. The sprinkled blood that speaks a better word. We know the ultimate sprinkled blood that speaks a word. Let us hear the blood speak this morning. Let's go down further on in the chapter in verse 28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. This morning, we offer worship, as Don mentioned. He named some of the acts of worship. How do we do that? How do we worship? Well, here we're told to worship with reverence and awe. What are those? But what is it to revere? But to lift up and recognize as high and exalted and holy and bestow glory on one so lifted. That is to revere. This is not any mere blood that speaks. This is the blood of the chosen one. And so what we do is we revere God, who in his faithful love purposed, I want to create a way back. That is who I am. I am a God who creates hope for his people. I'm going to create a way back. And that way back is going to be through the blood of my own son. We revere God for that astonishing act of love. And we also revere the one who said, I'm willing to do what my Father said must be done. His astonishing act of love. We look at it and we marvel. We are astonished. And that's really what awe is, right? What is awe but a jaw-dropping recognition that, whoa, I'm in the presence of something more than merely usual. So this morning, we worship. We worship in reverence and awe. So part of that work, as I've suggested, is having our hearts right so that we can look and we can revere. That's a way of seeing. And how do we see? We see with the way our hearts are. Remember, in Ephesians 1, Paul saying, I pray that the eyes of your hearts will be opened. So we see a certain way because our hearts are a certain way, and we must do that. But it's not only that. We do what we do because we have discerned what God's people did in the first century. You go back, look, what did they do? Because as much as our hearts need to be right, it's also true we need to do what Him who called us wants us to do. So one way we revere and we show the awe that we feel is we act obediently. So what do we know? We act on what we know this morning. We've already done it, right? We have a song that has the line in it, tune our hearts to sing thy praise. This morning we have done that. We have marveled in awe in our song at what Jesus did when we survey that wondrous cross in our imaginations. And so when we do that, we are doing what the New Testament says. We are singing to one another. We're singing to God. That's not all. We've already done something else. We have prayed. We have been led in prayer. We'll be led in prayer again more and more times. Thank God that we can pray. And when we do that, we're being obedient. But it is our hearts that must be at work too. So there's this combining of the heart and the deed into this fused experience that we get to share. And not only is it us doing it privately, we're doing it together as the one talked about in John chapter 17. May they be one. Let us be one this morning in our reverence and in our awe. But that's not all. In a few minutes, we're going to be giving money, giving of our means to God. I mentioned, one of the things I want to remind you is it's so tempting in all of these for them to be kind of sagged down, to droop down, to be simply chores, to be perfunctory gestures. But you know what? If we're really one in reverence and awe, we will keep elevated every part of our worship. When we give, it is a big deal. Not because of the amount given, but because our hearts make us reach out, make us act. Again, the combining of the heart and the deed. And then in a few moments, we will hear David Banning speak to us from the words of God. And there we are doing what God wants us to. We're hearing together His word proclaimed, and we're weighing it, and we're measuring it in our hearts, and we're seeing how our hearts stand against that. And we're saying, Amen. That's what we do together. But of course, we come now to another act of worship that also can sag and droop into being rather perfunctory little chore, but it's our work. We do what we do because Lord Jesus said to do it. And so our reverence and our awe leads us to obey. So we're going to do what he said. We're going to do something in memory of him. Take this cup. Take this piece of bread. Think about it and what it means. We are here confronting the body of Christ, the body that was shed, or that was broken. Broken on the cross, we get to contemplate that horror and revere and in awe and reverence. We understand that devotion on his part. My Father willed it, so I will it. Let us will a recognition of the cost paid for us this morning. And then also, as he said, this cup, it is the new covenant in my blood. Take this, right? Do it, you consume it. And as you do, remember me. This morning, we obey. This morning, we show forth our reverence and our awe. So please, let us consider the language of Hebrews 12, verse 25 once more. Do not refuse him who is speaking. His blood speaks this morning.